Good morning. Well, it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? And it's all the more beautiful in here. So welcome to our service. Some announcements as we go on. Before we go on, I should say, of course, Wednesday evening would be our Thanksgiving Eve service at 7 o'clock. You can see where the offering is going that night. It's in the bulletin. Also, as far as Christmas program lunches, which starts next Sunday, God willing. There's still some items, I guess, that are needed. The lists are out there against the west wall in the social hall, so if you haven't looked at that yet, please do so. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Hard to believe. Thursday is already Thanksgiving, but here we are. As well, on Wednesday night after the service, then the Christian Education Committee will be putting up the Christmas tree and hanging the greens, so things will look much different next Sunday morning when you come in. I want to just explain, maybe you've heard, maybe you haven't. So Anne was working at the care center this Thursday. She did test positive for COVID. You know, they get tested twice a week, and pretty tough to stay away from it there when there's so much of it in our care center. So you might be thinking, what are you doing here? Well, I'm going to tell you, because I'm glad you asked. We have been, if you want to know our personal life, ever since the first case showed up 2 weeks ago in the care center on that Friday night, we have been in different bedrooms for the last 2 weeks. And since a full week ago, we have separated even in the house and wearing masks, trying to be as careful as we could be, absolutely. So all that to say, of course, when Ann tested positive, then you have to call the Department of Health, which she did, and she told them what we had been doing, and they said that I really am not considered a close contact because of all the precautions we have been taking. So all that to say, I am going to stay up here today, and I am going to go out that side door. I won't greet you, although I love to do that. That's one of the highlights of my day. But it's good to be here. So I do have to tell sort of a funny story, though, quick, before we go on. On this week, Tuesday night, I went to bed. Anne had said she would go in the basement. You know, it wasn't like I put her in the basement. I would have. I said, I'll go to the basement. No, no, I will. It's darker down there, and she likes that. So anyway, Tuesday night, we go to bed about 9:30 or head to our bedrooms. And I'm just reading there, and I'm hearing this noise, what I thought was downstairs, of Anne just singing away, which you have to know, she does that. She put her earbuds in, and she'd just be singing, you know, her praise songs. And so I'm thinking, because I have a fan going too in the bedroom, so she's singing away, and I'm thinking, wow, she is really singing loud. And finally at 10 o'clock, and I put the light out, and I text her, would you please stop singing so loud? I'm going to bed. So anyway, I lay down, and about 10 minutes later at least, I get up, I'm thinking, what in the world? And I realize it is all the calves that have been weaned at the sale barn that are singing. So she had already been to bed. In the morning, she gets up. When she comes upstairs, she says, what is this about on the text message? I said, I thought it was you and it was the cows over at the sale barn. Oh, she said, you are in trouble. Oh, she does have a good voice, really, you know, but I just thought we needed a good laugh today, right? There's so much of the other side of things that, oh my goodness, so it was quite funny. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful, beautiful morning that you've given us and a glorious day, and all the more special just to gather in your sanctuary. I know there's a whole lot fewer of us here today, but Lord, we are here, and you are here by the power and presence of the Spirit of the living God. And there's no place better than to be in your presence. So thank you for being with us as we come to sing your praises, to glorify your name and magnify your name. Thank you for refreshing us, Lord, by your word and your Spirit today, and strengthening us. For all those that aren't able to be here today, be with them, Lord, as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I do need to say one other thing I meant to say regarding Anne and, you know, her COVID test, that, you know, this is, for me, I don't know about you, but it can be such a head thing going on, I'm telling you. So I did get a rapid test yesterday just for peace of mind, okay? And it was negative, praise the Lord, in case you're wondering that as well. Let's stand together and we're going to sing Let's Just Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, just give each other an air high five or something, however you want to do, before you're seated. God bless you. So again, I'll just stay up here for the joys and concerns, so you might have to talk a little bit louder, but some things that I have here. First of all, Lee Heckenleibel on Friday was inducted into the Iowa National Guard after he had spent 20 in the South Dakota Army National Guard. Now he's going into the Iowa Air National Guard. So God bless you, Lee. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it very, very much. Also, prayers for Ken Stepanek's dad, the family. His dad, Larry, did pass away last Sunday. Actually, he has been in the care center since, I think, February here at Menno. And I'll say this, too. We had such a great turnout for that prayer vigil at the care center on Sunday. It was just a neat time. I bet there were 50 people there. So, and it was during that 45 minutes when he went home to heaven. So his service, memorial service, is supposed to be this Wednesday. It is just a private family service in Yankton. Also, Don Hondel, that would be Doug's father, he passed away. I don't know what night that was, Thursday or Friday evening. Anyway, so his memorial service will be at a later time as well. He had been in our care center here at Menno. Let's see. I think we got some birthdays today, actually. Diane Calden, is your birthday today? Yeah. Thank you. Steve Pressler, happy birthday to both of you. Yeah. Anything else? Here? Okay, well, let me do Johnny.
We had our 22nd anniversary yesterday. I looked up what 22nd meant, or 22 meant, and it means precision. Some, you know, killer means. So we got to figure it out.
Oh, good. Johnny and Lori had their 22nd wedding anniversary yesterday. He looked up the number 22, and it means precision. So they got it figured out now. That's good. When you get to 26, you got to sort of refigure it all out again. No. Let Joanne.
I also tested positive for COVID this last week on Thursday.
Okay. Heidi, Walter.
Yes.
Yeah, tested positive same day and did then on Thursday.
So. Went for a procedure on Friday.
Oh.
So
okay. Yeah. Right. We'll be praying for Heidi. She was supposed to have a procedure on Friday, and if you've had anything done, you know you got to get the COVID test first, and that was positive. So, okay, we will be praying for her. Yeah. Who? Oh, yeah?
On Wednesday, Johnny will be 62.
On Wednesday, Johnny will be 62. Happy birthday coming. Ryan. Oh, goodness. Sorry. Okay. She fractured or broke two ribs?
Broke two ribs.
Cassie, Ryan Willinga's wife, fell the other night and broke two ribs. Sorry to hear that. Oh, we will be praying for her. Painful. Did some... Lee.
Keep Lee
Bo
family in your prayers. Yeah.
Yes. And the Liebel family, too. Greg Liebel passed away. I lose track of the days. Huh? His funeral was on Thursday, yeah. Okay. Someone over here, Greg?
Two things. We have old Gerald
and Don Schaefer in the hospital. Oh. I found Gerald's
been in for 3 days with COVID, and Don was admitted on Friday. I found out. So keep them in the system. The other thing, prayer support. Prayer would swap.
Yeah. Amen.
And hopefully more can show. I asked for a prayer an hour before.
Right. Amen. Prayers, Gerald and Donna Schaefer both have COVID and are both in the hospital in Scotland. Okay, so prayers for them. Sorry to hear that. Also, the prayer group, we moved it to 9:30 today instead of usual 8:30, but we had, I think, 14 here. So praise the Lord. We had a wonderful time in prayer. Anybody else over here? Calvin? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We will pray for her, for Cassie. Cassie, yep. Calvin's granddaughter. Okay. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer then. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that we can come and gather and lift up these prayer requests. Lord, we do pray for Cassie Walinga and these broken ribs. Anybody that's had it knows the pain that's involved. We just pray for healing to her throughout her body in Jesus' name. We pray for these Gerald and Donna Schaefer, who are in the Scotland hospital, both with COVID. We pray for Heidi Walter with COVID and Anne, and certainly many others. There's much of it around. We pray for our care center here in Menno and in the surrounding region, care centers, Scotland and Tyndall and Freeman and Marion, and just we could go on and on, Lord, and we lift them all up to you. Lord, as we prayed last Sunday over our care center, we just ask for the breath of heaven to cleanse, to flow through and cleanse these facilities of the virus. Father, in Jesus' name, be with the healthcare workers in all regards, the care centers, the clinics, the hospitals, wherever it is, and the difficulties that they face day in and day out. Keep them safe, Lord. They're all working extra shifts and going above and beyond, and we pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them. Father, we thank you for Lee Heckenleibel as he steps in now to the Air National Guard, and for all of our service men and women actively serving, or our veterans too. We just lift them up. Troops serving at home and abroad, we pray your hand of protection upon each and every one of them. We also pray for these families, the family of Greg Liebel. We pray for Marilyn and the kids and the other family and friends, for the family of Larry Stepanek, also the family of Don Hondel, as each of these went home to be with you in the recent days. We know, Father, that your word says to depart and be with you is better by far. But yet we do miss them. And so I pray for comfort and strength to these families each and every day. Father, thank you for those celebrating birthdays. We ask for an extra blessing on them. We pray for Fred and Terry Seiler, Lord. Thank you for working in her life, for Jimmy and Christina Whale, for Terry and Mary and Auk, and so many others listed in our bulletin. We lift them all before your throne, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to read a note here from Fred. Sorry about that, Fred. Fred and Terry say, we would like to thank everyone for the prayers, cards, food, and gifts. The outpouring of love from our church family is overwhelming and much appreciated. We couldn't do this without God and your help. Love, Terry and Fred. Thank you. Yeah. I want to read from Lamentations here. Chapter 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God. Thank you.
do. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. I love the mornings, Lord, and that verse is a big reason why. Because we start off fresh and new, no matter what happened yesterday, today is a new day. And so we come, we present our lives, our bodies before you as living sacrifices this day and ask you to work through us. Thank you for the gifts, the tithes, the offerings as we present them to you this day. For your blessing upon them, for your many, many blessings in our lives, which are incredible. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Johnny's going to come. If the kids want to come down, Johnny's going to give your lesson this morning.
Good morning. There we go. Ain't got much battery in this mic, so I'm hoping it makes it through, okay? Well, thanks for coming. Does anybody know which holiday's coming soon? Thanksgiving, right. Bunch of good food. What's your favorite food? Turkey. Mac and cheese.
Apple pie.
Apple pie, ooh. Chicken, ooh, that sounds good. Well, when my family gets together for Thanksgiving, we all gather in the kitchen and the food where the food's at, and we ask God to bless the food to our bodies. It's all sitting on a kitchen counter, and we go one by one through it, and then we go sit down at the table. Does anybody else do it that way? Yeah? So that's how we do it. Well, when I'm going through that lunch or through that line, I see something that I like, I tell myself, I'll be back for that. Have you ever done that? I'll be back for that. That's okay. It's when those mashed potatoes and gravy come and the stuffing, that's where I come back to. That's my favorite. Anyway, I brought a game today. It's called I'll Be Back. And it's a game that was inspired by a third grade boy when he was in my room playing with the games all by himself, and he had to go do something. And he said, I'll be back. And somehow God put in my heart to make a game called I'll Be Back. Anyway, in this game, I'm gonna bring a red ball and a black ball. The red ball has a little magnet that I stuck in it, and the black ball has little pieces of metal. And to win a gumball, you have to spin it, and if it sticks together, you win. Well, that time it didn't stick together, so you wouldn't get a gumball. But if it stuck together, you would win a gumball. Anyway, this game reminds me of something that God said in his word. It comes from James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's part of the verse. It goes on. But That's kind of what it reminds me of. Does anybody know how we draw near to God? We pray. We worship Him. We read the Bible. Yes, them are always, we can worship God. Well, let's say that this ball is God, and that little ball is us. And how are we going to get drawn near to that ball? How is that going to happen? We have to get it in motion, don't we? To see if it draws it near it. Well, I had it. That time it made connection. So for us to come near to God, we got to read His Word, pray, right? So what happens when we do that? We get fed, right? Our spirits get fed. That's something to be thankful for. It gives us food for our bodies, and it gives food for our spirit. So when we're truly thankful, we would tell God and show God that we will be back for more. We'll read His Word every day. We'll pray every day. So we have to be thankful for what He's given us, right? That's what I'm thankful for His Word and for Jesus, who is the Word. So this Thanksgiving, be thankful for His Word and the good food, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are a good God who loves us very much. Thank You for being an awesome provider. Help us to be on the move towards You through the ways You have provided. Father, we just love You and we worship You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a gift for you guys. It's not good food, but it's good stuff. Gumballs and suckers, okay? Thanks for coming. Each one of you guys can have a bag.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it. We're going to sing number 513, Thank You, Lord. We'll sing that through twice. Let's pray. Father, we do say thank You for saving us through Christ alone, by faith alone. Lord, for Your Word, we are grateful. As we look into it this morning again, we thank You that it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Help us to use it correctly, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth as we walk in this world. Thank You for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and we ask for that this morning. And I ask, Lord, that You would speak through me to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go back to this Ephesians 6:10 through 18 again this morning. I want to just focus on those pieces of armor here, because then, of course, Thanksgiving Eve, and then we're into Advent. So I wanted to work on this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen. That's a very familiar passage, but so important as we've been looking for almost the last 2 months through the scriptures, these phrases that are telling us to stand firm. Stand firm first against false teaching. Stand firm as a word of encouragement. Stand firm as we wait for the second coming of Christ. Stand firm against the devil's schemes. And he is full of them, isn't he? So last week, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. In those three words, be strong. That's to be made strong with a strength that is not your own. Pretty good. It's his strength, isn't it? In his mighty power. Mighty is omnipotent. God is all powerful. His mighty power, that power isn't an endued power that never runs out. That's what he's telling us, to be strong in all of this. And then he goes on, we know we have to put the armor on. That's the key here, these six pieces of armor. As I said last Sunday, so that you think about a football player. The school provides all the gear, the pads, shoulder pads, knee pads, all of that, thigh pads, helmet. But the player has to put it on, doesn't he? The coach is not going to stand very low, especially if they're in high school. And the player says, I can't put this on. The coach is going to say, what's wrong with you? Can't put it on? Right? No. And God expects us to have the armor on to put it on, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle every day on this earth against the forces, powers of darkness. And the devil does not play around. We know Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So in with the armor, I want to get into these. I looked back at least 8 years ago when I spent one Sunday on each piece of armor individually and sometimes two Sundays. So this is going to be a Reader's Digest version, maybe we'd say, condensed version of it. But he says, in verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after having done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. And then he goes in. So three times, bam, bam, bam. He's saying, stand your ground, stand firm, stand. The belt of truth is the first one. Well, number one there, put the armor on, if you're looking at your blanks, sorry. Maybe you probably got that. Put the armor on, and first piece is the belt of truth. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So I think we know every piece of this armor is in comparison to a Roman soldier at that time when the Apostle Paul lived on the earth and the Roman Empire was the dominant world power. The belt of truth. For the Roman soldier, this was made of leather, typically. They say it was probably 6 to 8 inches. I have wide on there, but I'm talking up and down. 6 to 8 inches in breadth, whatever, width. That was a wide belt, wasn't it? to put on. It was very important. That's the first piece of armor. On that belt, there also were strips of leather coming down further, hanging down there to protect the abdomen and the groin area. Also from this held the sheath that the sword was in. That was on the belt. As well, even the breastplate was attached to this belt. So we can see that why that is the first piece of armor, he says. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. So the belt of truth, that's God's word. Very simple. That is God's word. Because in John 17, the night before the cross, that's when Jesus prayed, that whole chapter, is a prayer of Christ. He said, as he's praying to the Father, sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, thy word is truth. And so it is. That's that belt of truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I wanted the belt of truth, then the sword of the Spirit, even though they're not right beside each other, but they are basically the same thing. The sword of the Spirit, letter B, which is the Word of God. Two of these pieces, two of the six pieces, deal directly with God's Word. So, so important. You know, one of the very first attacks that the devil is going to try to do against us as believers, he tries to get us to doubt God's Word. He's done that from the very beginning. Already in the Garden of Eden, when he came there to Adam and Eve, he tries to get us to doubt the truth and effectiveness of God's word. Genesis 3, he said to the woman, did God really say, same today, exactly the same today, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Well, that's a total lie right there. What does he do? He twists the word. Still does today. The woman says back to him, well, no, we can eat from the trees in the garden, any of them. But God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. Here's Satan's response, twisting the word. You will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what he does. He tries to twist the word. That's why we got to know the word. We got to have that belt of truth on. We have to have the sword of the Spirit in our hand, ready to go. A couple weeks ago in the 6th and 7th grade confirmation group, I don't know if I got any 6th and 7th graders here this morning. I don't think so. One of the kids somehow, oh, I don't even know what the subject was, but this one of the kids puts up their hand, which I am very glad for these statements when they come. This child said, Pastor Mike, I saw on TikTok, that's this latest whatever, what the, I don't even know if you compare it to Google or what. I saw on TikTok that there are 27 different genders. That's what they're getting. I said, wow. I said, that is a lie. I said, there are two genders. In the beginning, God created male and female. Male and female, he created them. Two. And then we had discussion on that. So I always say, if thank goodness those things come up. Because if they're not going to hear it in Sunday school and confirmation or church or at home, which they need to, then all they're getting is the garbage of the world. And they just think it's all, oh, well, if it's on there, it must be so. And so it's a battle that we're in on these things. Did God really say, in the beginning, he created the male and female? Yeah, God really said that. He did say that. Did what Satan say? Did God really say that Life, this is how the devil twists it, that life in the womb is not important. Oh, that we can have legal abortion in our nation for what's been 40 years now? No, God said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That David said in Psalm 51, surely I was sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Life begins at conception. We know that. So here with this sword, the sword of the Spirit. So in the Bible, there's two different Greek words for sword, okay? This one in Ephesians 6:17 is the smaller sword. That would be 12 to 18 inches long. So a foot to a foot and a half in length, maybe a little bit longer. One that the soldier could just real quick whip that around, you know, whatever, things were vicious, you know, back then. Chop the head off, whatever. They could wield that thing very fast. The other sword, which is one example, one time it's mentioned, is in Revelation chapter 1, is a sword, a bigger sword that was 3 to 4 feet long. This is a 4-foot yardstick right here. So you think the weight of those swords at that time, that this sword really took both arms to be using this effectively, as much as the weight of it would have been. This, the smaller one, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, they could have the shield of faith up and they could still be going at it with this small sword. So it's God's Word. Effectively, we can use it. You can trust the sword of the Spirit and should. And we know that. We know that. Jesus demonstrated to us how to use the sword of the Spirit when Satan came against him. It is written. Remember? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Each of the three temptations, Jesus came back with the sword of the Spirit. It is written. It is written. It is written. And that's what we need to say. You just say that to Satan if he's attacking you with things, thoughts, whatever, temptations. No, Satan, it is written. I'm telling you, yesterday, like I said, man, I just haven't, just being bombarded with, because of Ann having COVID, and how's this going to work? And even though they said, you know, I really didn't have to quarantine and that, and then, oh, my, man, just being hammered, and I'd be, it's what I was doing. Lord, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Your word says that you guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. That is what is written. It's written. And he doesn't just too often leave you alone just because you say that once. Maybe he does for you. But for me, it's usually several times. No, it is written. It's written. It's written. Right? We'll use that sword. Letter C, the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, so for the Roman soldier, this was made of molded metal. You think of the weight of all that they had on themselves. Those guys were strong. Very, very strong. The breastplate of righteousness that went from the base of the neck all the way down to the top of the thighs there and somewhere attached to the belt of truth. Like I told you before, it would protect what those vital areas, the heart, the lungs, the kidney, the liver, all of these vital organs. They had to have the breastplate of righteousness on to be protected. So what is righteousness? And how do we put that on? There's a lot of definitions. Here's a definition of righteousness that I like. It says this, the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or fear or condemnation, and listen to the rest of it, knowing that you belong there because of Jesus, not because of anything I've done or you have done, only because of Jesus. He has made us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God the Father made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so you are. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have that breastplate of righteousness on. You do. It's not self-righteousness, like Isaiah talked about in chapter 64, that's like filthy rags. Our own righteousness is nothing. But in Christ, he clothed us with that robe of righteousness. That we don't have to be ashamed. It's not that we think we're anything great. I don't mean that, because we're not. We realize it's all in him and through him that we come. We stand before him unashamed. So it is our salvation. When we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we have the breastplate of righteousness on. It's pretty amazing. Satan will still try to tell us at times, you're unworthy. You don't deserve that. And yeah, in ourselves, do we deserve any of it? No, we don't. But again, it's in Christ that he has made us to be his righteousness. So there, if those thoughts are coming, got to take the sword of the Spirit again. Tell him, no, 2 Corinthians 5:21, what does it say? And say it, right? Resist him. Letter D, our feet fitted with readiness. With the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So here's the shoes. They, even at that time, Paul the Apostle, the Roman Empire, they had minefields then. Isn't that something? They're nothing like the minefields of today, or these, IED, is that what those are called? Like over in Afghanistan and Iraq, that they would hide underneath the surface of the ground. They had stuff they did too then. They would take sticks, strong, firm sticks, sharpen them to a point, bury them just down in the ground enough, but so that that was sticking up, that it wouldn't really be seen. They would take sharp pieces of metal, whatever, sharp objects do the same, put it in the ground of where they thought the enemy troops were going to be coming towards them to attack. Trying, the hope was that that would poke through the leather on their shoes. So the shoes were very important. Their feet fitted with the readiness that comes from with the gospel of peace. Our shoes are important too. I'm talking spiritually, because we, four times in these verses, we've been told, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, and we stand with our feet, so to speak, don't we? Right? That was all their goal, just to try and injure in whatever way they could. So here's a blank here. It says, I've got shoes that anchor me upon immovable ground, upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Those are the shoes. Now, again, each one of these, there's so much more involved. But letter E, the shield of faith, the shield of faith. In addition to all of this, these pieces of armor, he says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Say, I can. Extinguish all. Yes, the flaming arrows of the evil one. We can, in this armor, we can. So even with the shield of faith, for the Roman soldier, there were two shields. One was a small round shield, just not too big, hand-to-hand combat right there. The one this is talking about is a large oblong shield, 2.5 feet, typically, okay, to about to here, this wide, by 4 feet long. So, there, you know, if you're down, I mean, I could get down behind that. I have to scrouch down, but maybe they weren't quite as tall back then, except for the giants like Goliath. So, you could get down, or you could hold it up, of course, if you're moving, and protect a good part of your body going forward with that shield of faith. A lot of times when they were in combat, in the natural sense of soldiers, they would have these shields side by side together, tight, and they move forward. One time I saw, I don't remember which the movie was, but it was at this time, and it showed them trying to come up against a city that they were wanting to conquer. There was a wall not so high, so they were running up all tight together with their shields, and when they got closer, they all lifted their shields up this way. So because they were coming down with the arrows on them, they all were protected under that canopy of their shields. And then they go and they take the city. The shield of faith, they say, that had to be heavy in itself. It was made of two layers of wood. As well, then, it had a cant covered with a canvas and a hide, animal hide of some kind. And before they actually were going into battle, they would dip those shields in water. I'm sure they had to have them in there for a while to let that wood soak up that moisture, right? Well, you think of something that's this tall and this wide, that wood soaked in water, think of what the weight of that thing might have been. They're carrying a lot of stuff, weren't they? So we have the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How do you get that? When you're saved again. Romans 12 says that God has given you the measure of faith. Yes, we have to use it. Our faith grows by hearing the word of God all of our lives. But you have the shield of faith. You have every piece of this armor. If you are God's child, you have it all. So walk in it. Use it. What are the arrows designed to do? They're designed to destroy you, your family, a marriage, your children. They come against, right? Satan loves to shoot flaming arrows at a church, trying to get in, cause division and strife. That's his tactic. He loves to try and come and steal our peace of mind, as I talked about earlier. Sometimes these arrows are bitterness and anger, jealousy, things like that. Letter F, the last one, the helmet of salvation. He says, take the helmet of salvation. Again, when we receive salvation, yeah, you got the helmet on. We at Romans 12 again says we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's a constant process that we grow in. I was looking back once over the history of like football helmets, okay, in our nation. What they started out just so simple as a leather thing and progressed over the years to what they have today. Very sophisticated, even some computerized gadgets in it to tell where the person's being hit and how effective it's working. I mean, those helmets of today are pretty incredible. So our helmet of salvation. We grow in that. We grow with our minds being transformed, renewed by God's word as long as we are on this earth. And those arrows will come. Just like I said yesterday. To you, that might seem like, well, I don't know why that bothered you so much yesterday. Well, I didn't either, but it did. But we all have certain things that do bother us, don't we? Whatever it might be, where Satan comes to attack. It's different for every one of us. Something that causes you great stress and worry, whatever, I might be like, what's the big deal? Something that does to me, you might be, what's the big deal? But we all have those things. So we keep that helmet on. We use the word, we use the word, we use the word. Standing firm in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we're blessed, truly blessed to have these pieces of armor. And thank you for it. Help us to use these effectively, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, every part of it, the helmet, as we stand in you, strong in you and in the power of your might, as we stand in prayer for our nation. For there is a battle raging for the soul of this nation. And we stand in prayer earnestly, diligently, taking authority over the powers of darkness that would love to destroy the founding principles of this nation. Father, we stand firm in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This last hymn, it's sort of familiar with us, but we don't sing it all that often, but Make Me a Blessing. The words are really neat to it. Let's stand together. Is our prayer. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And let us sing God Bless America. beautiful singing and beautiful playing. Thank you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Sorry I won't greet you. Have a good week in the Lord.